Hey, what's up, guys? I just spoke to Andrea Johnson. She is amazing. We talked about so many amazing things. We talked about faith. We talked about being heart-centered. We talked about dismantling faith. What does that look like? We talked about leadership. We talked about stifled leaders. We talked about team communication, cultivating corporate cultures, like all of that great stuff. This was a really fantastic conversation about transformative leadership. I really, really want you to take a listen, really soak it in, especially if you're a leader or you're running teams or anything. I think this is going to be a great episode for you to catch up on. I can't wait for you to check it out. Let's do this. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I am so excited you are here like always. Why? Because you guys are freaking amazing. I have hit over 100,000 downloads. I was like at 99 for a while and then boop, popped up there. And so now I'm over 100,000 downloads because of you, all of my straight talkers out there who are constantly pouring into this show and this community, because I know that you love the people that I bring on here. These people are good people. They come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. I found such a superstar for y'all. I cannot wait to get into this conversation with Andrea Johnson. She is a masterful coach dedicated to empowering leaders to lead with authenticity and impact, which you all know this is something we really need in the world today. And her journey from navigating the complexities of mental and physical wellness as an adoptive parent to global upbringing to becoming a Maxwell certified consultant, that certification and that consulting has equipped her with the unique insights into building emotional resilience and fostering transformative leadership. I am really into leadership, Andrea, so I cannot wait for us to talk about this because you specialize in liberating stifled leaders, and Lord knows we got a lot of them out there, Andrea. So I am super excited for you to talk to my people here because they are really an amazing community. I have a lot of leaders. I have a lot of CEOs, a lot of leaders, a lot of thought leaders that listen to the show. And so I was really looking forward to this conversation all week. And I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being on Straight Talk. How are you?
Well, gosh, now I'm all pumped up.
Good.
For sure. I mean, I thought, you know, people used to leave me and say that you have so much energy. And I'm like, oh, I think I met my match. This is phenomenal. And I just want to say as a fellow podcaster, congratulations on 100,000 downloads. That's amazing. Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
You guys have an amazing audience. That's great.
I love them. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, no, they've been great. I mean, you know, it takes you, as you know, as a podcaster, right? It takes you time to like build up that momentum and to get it up there. And for me to see those numbers and then to see, you know, that it's like the top, I think 1% or 1.5% of podcasts to listen to, all that kind of stuff. It blesses my heart because this place is honestly, yes, I'm a coach and all that stuff, but I've actually built this platform for people like you, thought leaders, and people that come on to impact the world. And that's how I give back. That's how I give back to the world. So Andrea, the first question off the gate always, because my audience is waiting for it.
Okay.
Who are you? Who are you, Andrea? Tell us, who are you?
Oh, I am many things. I like to call myself a transformational leadership coach. For the longest time, I called myself a professional encourager. And, you know, I can go by a lot of different definitions. I'm a pastor's wife. I'm a Maxwell leadership coach. I have almost 30 years in administrative and operations type experience where I learned a lot about managing people and realized I didn't want to do that. I wanted to help people grow. Right. I mean,
yes, I would so get that.
We would tell people, they would come in my office for an interview and I'd say, okay, I want you to know that this is a launch pad position for you, not a landing pad. And I don't want to see you here in 3 years. And so I hired this one guy and like every year, I'm like, so where are you going to be next year? And he's like, are you trying to get rid of me? I'm like, do you not recall our initial conversation?
Right.
I didn't want to manage the status quo. And, you know, I was blessed to have been raised overseas. So I have this global worldview, which really served me well for 23, almost 24 years in universities of medicine, research administration, and operations, because we had a lot of lab personnel, a lot of clinical personnel that were international. But a lot of, you know, if it's a teaching hospital, I was at Hopkins and then at University of Virginia. Yeah. And, you know, that's, it's a real blessing to be in those kind of environments. These are really smart, smart people who care, like you, a lot about changing the world, and they want to do it in a specific way. And to have them come sit in my office defeated because of the system, or defeated because, you know, and just because they can't get anywhere as a PhD instead of an MD PhD, and to just be able to give them the kind of encouragement they need, it told me I had something different to offer than what I was doing. And so I said, you know, I'm on my own journey, and I kind of see myself as one of those barrel of monkeys people. You know, it's like the one arm up, one arm down. It's like whoever's pulling me up, I'm pulling the next person. Yeah. And we used to say I would leave the university like the Pied Piper and take as many women as I could with me. But then I realized, you know, I don't dislike organizations. It just wasn't where I needed to be. Yeah. Most of these organizations have fabulous missions and visions, and they do really, really good things. My mother is a beneficiary of both. We lost her to breast cancer in 2017, but she was a beneficiary of the Johns Hopkins Oncology Center where I worked, and the University of, VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University Medical Center in Richmond. So these organizations need to be there, but I just didn't need to be in them, but I learned a lot from them. So able to take that information and then turn around and use it. Like I just last week interviewed with a guy in Houston who just left a medical practice. And it's just like, now I can speak different languages with people. Mm-hmm. I learned how to be a translator. And I don't mean like Spanish and English and Korean and Chinese. I mean, like I learned how to translate normal people into doctor language and NIH regulations into doctor language.
Right.
And so now I use all of that when I work with people to help them kind of look in the mirror and say, who am I and where do I want to be? And how do I get there?
So. Yeah. You know, what's really powerful though, is that you were, you know, hiring them, but also looking after them, right? Like after their growth and development, because most organizations, as you know, I was a director too for many years. It's like, you know, the role or the company or the business or whatever wants you to make sure you bring in talent that'll stay with you for eons, right? Yes. And I'm the same as you. Most of my people left to move on to start their own businesses, build something different, go back to college. Like I kept talking to, so what are you going to do? So what, you know, what do we do? What do you really love? And I was like, probably, you know, an antithesis of what they wanted me to do at the corporate level. But I'm the same as you. And I wonder, you know, where that comes from, right? You know, that we're still in the role, because I'm assuming that you stayed in the role, but you pushed people out into forward their role. What do you think that comes from?
I think it comes from being able to see the potential in other people. Mm-hmm. And when you can see the potential in other people, you either, if you see it and you don't do something about it, shame, 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 shame on you. Because if you can see the potential in another person and you do something about it, you have to do something about it. I am compelled to do something about it. And that's one of the reasons why I became a DISC consultant and a Maxwell trainer and speaker and coach, because using the tools that I have means that I help people figure out what their strengths are. I help teams figure out how to finally communicate. I help individual leaders figure out how to be themselves and to do it in a way that may not be in the box thinking. I got a text message on, I guess it was Friday. First, I got bad news. I did not get selected for a particular proposal that I put through. I was like, wah, wah. And I still work with a lot of organizations. And I was disappointed because it was one that looked like it was a really good fit for me. But literally right after that, I get this long text message. I had this amazing manager moment. And I was like, well, please tell me about it. And she said, 4 people are leaving my team. And I'm like, yay. And it was because one of them was going home to pursue the dream of being a stay-at-home mom, but the rest were moving up and out. And she said, I know my bosses don't think this is a win, but I knew you would, and I had to share it. And so I think breeding that in other people, that good leaders actually lift other people up, whether or not they get lifted. And, you know, that's what it means to be a servant leader. So.
Yes. So good. And I have worked in organizations in the past where when you show the growth and potential, it's sad, but some of the higher, the C-suites or whatever, kind of knock you down, actually. They want to make sure that you don't see your full potential. I don't know if that's more like within them, like a threat that you might, you know, take their job or that you might, you know, be the superstar. I'm not sure where that comes from. I think that's more self-work that they need to do within themselves.
Oh, I would agree.
You know? Yeah. Which is, and it could be very sad because when you see that, it brings down the whole morale and the culture of the organization instead of like really having this camaraderie, right? Where nobody lets the ball drop and everybody has each other's back. Yeah. It's a very different feel than, you know, from a long time ago when I remember it was like, wow, nobody likes each other. Everybody's stabbing each other's back. But I realized it came from the top. Yeah. And that's just very, very sad when that happens. And so I know you left that role, right? Did you leave the corporate leadership role altogether? And why? what made you leave?
Well, it kind of goes back to what I said. I'd really like to help people grow rather. I help, you know, develop people rather than manage people. I mean, just the definition of manage is to keep the status quo. It's to keep it. Mm-hmm. You want somebody to manage on an assembly line, right? You want all of it to be exactly the same. You want to make sure that everything runs smoothly and all the widgets are the same. That's not me. I'm not a manager. When I look at my own personal strengths, especially my Clifton strengths, I am a maximizer. I take things to 11 if you're a Spinal Tap fan. But I like to look at people's strengths and say, well, where can we go with this? What if? I like to think about the possibilities. And, you know, I had a few PhD students who got their PhDs and after talking to me went off and did something else. And
so good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's hard for an institution because they get paid while they're there, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's an investment of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in that individual. But at the same time, you really want somebody to be happy. It's more important that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And for me, I knew that I was going to make a change. Like I said, we lost my mom when I was 50 in 2017 and in February, actually, this month. But I realized at that moment that I did not want to be on the path that I was on, that I had gone the safe route, that I had done what everybody else said I was supposed to do. And for the longest time, I had been unhappy and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And finally, I just said, I got to figure this out. And so I started 7 years ago just saying, I got to change. And it ended up doors opening to do the Maxwell coaching system and to start. And I should have known who John Maxwell was. I mean, he's one of the most preeminent leadership gurus in the entire world. And my family, like I said, my husband's a pastor and he's a former pastor. And so all the Southern Baptist people love John Maxwell. And I was like, who's John Maxwell? But but when I started looking at the tools and the talk about camaraderie in the team, I mean, there's over 50,000 of us now out there. Yeah, and it's just really all throughout the world. I mean, it's not just the United States. So it's very exciting to see where this is going. But I did it for a little while, trying to work it in the system because I needed a paycheck, right? So it's like, I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready. And there were a few things that kind of tipped the scale. I got a promotion with the title and no raise because I was already doing the work. And then I asked for the title and it's like, well, these other people have been doing the work longer than you. You mean they've had the title longer than me?
Right.
And so I knew at that moment that this was an exit plan that needed to happen. And then a couple of other things happened after COVID that just were, I don't know, the straw that broke the camel's back. And I wasn't as I wouldn't suggest people do it like me. I wasn't as financially prepared as I wanted to be or as I should have been, but God provided. It's that we are. Yeah. And now, I mean, I was at a business networking event this morning. It's like, I think I might have like 3 or 4 more new clients. It's just,
yay. Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, it just, so I've been full time since August 22. And, I think that's right.
That's really amazing. I was going to ask you to touch into that a little bit, though, about your faith, because I know that, you know, I work with heart-centered women, right? I work with women who have faith and all of that. And I do too. And I'm wondering, and I want to hear your perspective. I'm wondering if our faith plays a role, a big role in the wanting to see others thrive. In the wanting to see others grow, right? And to see giftings in them. Like, I feel like it is a gift from God to me when I look at a woman and see this gift, right? Yeah. And when she's in front of me, sometimes she's broken and doesn't feel like anything really. But all I see is, whoa, this testimony is going to kick some behind, you know? That's what I see. I feel like that's a gift. And I feel like it's also, you know, a gift when you can lead people in a way where they want to follow you and fall on the sword because of who you are as a person, right? So I'm just wondering, did your faith play a big role in the way you led in these corporate settings?
They did. And there were times I got in trouble because I was a little vocal when I might not should have been. But at the same time, I figured out ways that I could live out, because the whole point about being a person of faith is not necessarily telling everybody everything.
Right,
it's living in a way that they want to ask you questions and living in a way that's different, living in a way that shows love or peace when that may not be what they're receiving in any other area. And because I think that's what Jesus did. And so for me in the corporate setting, yes, it made a difference. It's a little bit like you don't put the fish on the back of your car and drive 80 miles an hour. So for me, I just don't put the fish on the back of my car.
You just drive the 80?
I just drive the 80. But I got many gram things going on that would be just a whole other conversation. But I will say in the corporate setting, people knew, I mean, they may not have known that I was a pastor's wife, but then when they found out, they were like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, and most of the time, not all the time, because I'm not perfect. Most of the time, it was a positive thing for them to find that out. And for people to come into my office in the middle of a panic attack, you're my only safe space.
Yeah.
You know, when a safe space means something in the corporate world, that means something very big. And I was humbled, you know, I had two or three times where that happened. And being able to say, I see you as a human created in God's image and his fingerprints are all over you. And therefore you have value to me where you may not see it and other people may not see it, but I see it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I see that in a way that other people may not. I think a lot of even people without faith see those kinds of things and they recognize how beautiful they are. They just may not call them the same thing, but I do think it helps. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it helps too. Like I remember in my leadership role as well, I had a couch in my office. They would call the therapy couch and they'd be like, my only safe space. Can I sit on the therapy couch? And I'm like, absolutely. Sometimes it would be to listen. Sometimes it'll be to counsel and it would be not my team, but all the team, like the whole team of the organization, which was really awesome. It was an awesome privilege to do. And, you know, sometimes your faith gets challenged. It does in a corporate setting, you know, because you either have to hide it or change it or can't say that or, you know, or you're just pissed. And you're just definitely not going to be a Christian at that moment, right? I was always like, God, you know, God, right? You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I think it's almost as important to show those things as it is to be perfect, right? It's like it's more important. You use the word authentic for leadership. I think it's more important to be authentic. And so some of these people knew that, unfortunately, I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately, they knew that I could be spicy. They knew that I could drop some language when I get really angry. But they also knew that I was the first person they could come to. They also knew that I was the first person who was going to do the right thing at the right time. They knew that I was the one who was going to honor the commitment. I was going to honor the ethics. I was, you know, they knew the things that I think are more important to me than being perfect and being good all the time, because they need to see that I'm a real person and that I love them anyway. And, you know, so I think that that's in that respect, for many of my family who spent almost all of their time in ministry, it's a very different road to walk. Yeah. And so I think it matured me in my faith because I was not around. I mean, there were plenty of times my husband's a pastor, but I had no Christian friends for the simple fact that it's really hard as a pastor's wife to have friends in the church, because then you're playing favorites or, you know, and I learned a lot about perspective. I learned a lot of, it was just a real gift that God gave me these women around me that had very vastly different perspectives on things. And it aided in me figuring out better who I am. And it aided me in growing, not just as a person, but also in my faith.
Yeah. Did it ever bump up against your faith?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My best friend of over 30 years when I met my husband in seminary, and I have 2/3 of a master's of divinity. I'm almost there. And you know, this is back when I was still learning perspective. She just asked me, she said, "So do you believe I'm going to hell?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just," and there have been times, and you and I discussed this earlier off camera, where I've done some deconstruction of some things because I found it necessary to look at what is the difference between real faith and who Jesus really is, and what I have been presented as, this is the church, this is the body, this is the way it's supposed to work. Because, you know, I have no idea what your exact background is, but I've already put Southern Baptist out there. That's mine. And my grandfather was a deacon. My parents, my dad was a preacher, missionaries. I met my husband at a Southern Baptist seminary. I married him. He was a youth minister, then a pastor. And to this day, I still teach Sunday school. And even on Sunday morning, I walked into my women's Sunday school class and I said, "I have to tell y'all, I had a real hard time with this lesson. And I want you to know why, because here's what I think they're trying to say, but they're saying it this way. And it makes it sound like if something bad happens to us, we didn't have enough faith." And I said, "And that's just wrong. And that's, I want to make sure we don't walk out of here with that as an understanding." And they were like, "Oh, good." You know? So being able to have things bump up against my faith, friends with children who are transgender, friends with children who are gay, family members who had early on, this was like family members who were divorced. It was, those things just blew my mind. No, what do you mean, you know? But that's perpetual sin. How does that work? And being willing to walk through some things and question, I'm really big on critical thinking.
Yeah, me too.
One of the things, if you read my bio straight through, it's, I teach you how to think critically. And what that means is you take in the information and you filter it through more than just one thing. You know, when we had COVID, everybody wore different types of filters. But the best, if you really wanted to, maybe this is just, I don't know, if you really wanted to be super, super safe, you did like 3 or 4 different types of filters to make sure, you know, I mean, it was just, so I think, as my youth minister said, if you put it through Philippians 4:8, whatever is good, whatever is beautiful, whatever is commendable, you know, and then I heard somebody else recently say, is this bringing peace or is this not bringing peace? You know, it's like, if it's bringing peace, that's of God. That's what Jesus does. And so I had to be willing to say, I was willing to deconstruct everything. And then I realized that my faith was actually stronger without the trappings of some of the things that I had allowed to kind of latch on as my belief system. And now it's like the reading the Bible is much richer for me, and sharing with other people is much richer for me. But it's not over, and it's not an easy process. And if you come from the evangelical community, it is scary as all get out, because
it is
presented as a slippery slope that's going to send you straight to hell. Like, and yet here I stand. And I actually put out a solo podcast on this last week. And it basically is just demystifying it. There's benefits to it for us. There are things about it that help us as women. You know, everybody's is going to be different. And if you need to think of it as something like critical thinking or thinking for yourself rather than deconstruction, that's fine. It's all the same thing. It's
right.
I'm just not taking everything that you say to me as quote unquote gospel truth. It's like, I need to know. Paul even said the Thessalonians, be like the Bereans. They take what I say and then they go back and look at the Torah. And so I think that's really what it's about. And so yes, things have come up against my belief system. I had one PhD student look at me. She had been raised in the United Church of Christ, and then she converted to Judaism to get married. And she looked at me, and I said something about creation, and she said, "You actually believe that?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" And, right. You know, and I was ridiculed in that moment. And I said, "You don't have to ridicule me. It's okay for us to believe different things. We still work together really well." And she's like,
"Yeah."
You know, and I think I could see her mind going, you know, because I've heard, yeah. I thought you were educated.
Yeah. You know, I think that that's the thing too, right? I some conversations I have, I wonder where critical thinking is, you know, like it's almost like a lost art.
Yes.
To think critically or to think through something, because some logics fall apart as soon as you start to break them down. Right. So it's very interesting when you have good conversation. And I love conversations like that. Like I love deep conversations where we are not meeting in the same place. I think that is so interesting. And I'm always like, "Oh, so what is that? Well, if we follow your logic, what is this? And what is this?" And they're like, "Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, you know, you have to think through things." So what are you doing now? Because you went and you're deconstructing, and that's a lifetime process, right, Andrea? That's like
once
a lifetime.
Once you start, you realize, it's not just politics that I need to deconstruct, or religion, practices that I need to deconstruct. It's also like my economic thought and the way I see the food I eat and the way, you know, so it's just like,
So true.
Freeing. I like to say that I have terminal curiosity. And
I love that.
Yeah, because it's a really positive spin on being able to say, well, what's below that? You know, because there are so many benefits to being able to do that. It helps you know what you believe and why, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's important to know that because we all have assumptions, beliefs, and conditioning, and our beliefs are based on all that conditioning that we have. And we need to make sure that they're based on the things that we want them to be based on.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard journey in and of itself. But when we know what we believe and why, then we don't need to be defensive. Mm-hmm. I've lost like all the defensiveness. If somebody comes at me about something, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
They're like, "No, it is. Don't you want?" I'm like,
It is so freeing because you're hitting a place of authenticity that you realize that this is who you are and you're okay with that. And when you hit that place, there is a freeing part of that, because when somebody comes at you with rejection or bad words or whatever that is, you're just like, okay.
Yeah, whatever. Like you do, right. It's okay. But it, you know, it means that then we use these words a lot in coaching. It means we can align myself with what I believe. But the reality is, it means I can just walk in what I believe. I can actually move forward in that. I get to honor who He created me to be, because I have a really specific skill set, a really specific way of thinking and seeing the world, and He created me specifically to do that. And my favorite Bible verse is Ephesians 2:10, where it says, "You are His. I'm His masterpiece. I am His, and He created me to do special and good things in Christ. And He did that long before I ever came on this earth." And I love that idea that I had a mission, and if I don't do it, who will? Right?
Who will? That's right.
But again, right. Like I said a minute ago, it also helps me see other people's perspectives, and it helps me see that once you start seeing other perspectives, it's like being on the top of the Eiffel Tower. Have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, okay. So you can look out. I've only been once. I'm going to take my son. But when you go up to the top of the Eiffel Tower, you can see all the different pieces of Paris. And it's a really cool city. If you look at it from the top of a map, it's like divided into all these, I don't know how you say the French word, arrondissement or whatever. But you can see the gardens on one side and the Arc de Triomphe on the other side. They're all still there. But if you're only looking in one direction, you can't see it.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's good.
But if you start walking around the top to see the different perspectives, you get to see all the beauty of Paris. Right. It was always there. Good. And you didn't know it.
Right. Right. All the beauty of Paris, and also how they're all interconnected. Yes. Right. Which is so beautiful.
And you had no idea.
I know. Well, I've never been there, but I do want to go there. And I love the idea of perspective. It is always perspective, right? It is always perspective. And so I know that you're helping now. You're like, you have clients now. You have a coaching program. Is that safe to say? It's a coaching program where you are helping stifled leaders, right? So is this what you're doing with them, trying to help them come up with their authenticity? Tell me what that looks like for the leaders who are listening.
Okay.
And want to know more about what it is you're doing right now.
So I do both work inside corporations and privately. And so when I work inside a corporation, I tend to work or in an organization or a team, and I can do this hybrid or in person. I start with communication and DISC and kind of help everybody learn how to communicate better, because it's a bit like the Tower of Babel. Once you start speaking the same language again, it really makes sense. So that kind of de-scrambles some things for a lot of teams. But when I work individually with people, especially with executive coaching, I have a couple of programs, but my top tier program is a full, I do DISC assessment. I have a core values course. We didn't even talk about core values, but when you know your core values, then you know what your compass is. Then you know exactly why you do what you do, what things tick you off and what things make you happy. So we walk through all of that, and we walk through some John Maxwell stuff to really make sure they understand what it means to be a leader. So it's a kind of a big all-in-one package. But then I have individual things. Like I said, I have the core value course. You can do DISC assessments with me. We can do specific DISC coaching. I have some free masterminds running in, I don't know when this will air, but free masterminds running in the month of March. And that's like a 4-week thing. And then I will be doing those throughout the year, just because I want people to kind of get an idea of what it's like working with me. So, and again, I also have a podcast as well called Stand Tall and Own It.
I love it. Love that title. Tell me about, for those who are listening, you've mentioned DISC a few times. Tell me what DISC is.
So it's a communication and behavioral analysis tool. So it's based on the four quadrants of the red, yellow, green, and blue, the old-fashioned, phlegmatic, choleric, and whatever. So it stands for D, which is dominant, I, which is influencer, S, which is steady, and C, which is compliant. So we all have a mixture of those different types. And when you know what that is, then you know how to speak to somebody. D's are bottom line people. I's are woohoo, hello, look at me people. S's are 69% of the population. They're the backbone of your team, and they do not want you to rock that boat, baby. Do not rock the boat. So they're the ones with the systems, and they get it all running. And if we didn't have them, then none of our stuff would run. Your C's, your compliance, they're the ones that are going to make sure all the details are done, all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, all the contracts are signed, all the bills are paid, all of that. And they're the real creative ones as well. There's only about 11% of I's, 13% of C's, and the D's, these are your drivers, your dominants, the bottom line, get it done, move. They're only 3% of the population, but you need a good D on your team sometimes. When you know these things, that helps you understand yourself. We have student reports for children up through 10 to 14 or 15. Then we have a college and career report. My son is 15. We just did this one for him, and we're still walking through it as a 41-page report. It tells us what his main values are, what his motivation is. He's learning how we communicate with his teachers. It even gives them ideas on what careers they would maybe want to go into. And that's just one report. So the Maxwell report is unique in that it has pulled out seven specific leadership characteristics that you want to know where you fall on those things, so that you can either work on something or you can mitigate your leadership, maybe where you don't rate really high, mitigate that with somebody who does. That way you know what kind of people to put on your team.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is so powerful, right? Because it also will give you empathy, respect, you know, for your team members, right? Because if somebody's a driver and is just going at it all the time, the other person's an influencer, at least you'll know, like, this is my communication style. Like, I'm a very direct person. And so when we did this personality assessment, I forget which one we did, I realized that some people were way higher on the more sensitivity level than I was. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me. It really did. I realized, okay, you're going to speak to this person, you know, bring it down, pull it back a little bit, and just speak to her with a little bit of calmness and respect. And that's the way she receives. And let me tell you, it really did change the relationships of a lot of our peers, because when you learn that.
Yeah, my son is that way. He is a very high C, and he says, don't yell at me. And I'm like, all I did was say something with an exclamation point on it. I didn't yell. Right. He's like, you're yelling at me. And but once I've learned, you know, how to do that with him, it makes all the difference in the world. But you need to know C's are going to ask you questions, and it's not because they don't trust you. It's because they really want to get it right. And so they want to know all the details, you know.
Right. So
when you know all of that, it really makes a difference.
Who is your ideal client then? Who do you mainly work with? I know you work in corporations, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one subset. But who do you work with when you're doing your executive coaching? Is it women? Is it men? Is it both? Like, who's your avatar?
My passion is women. I grew up in a very patriarchal system, and my passion is helping women knock that, 70% ceiling out and figure out who they can be. I love working with mid to junior level women, partially just because I'm 57 and these women tend to be more like a daughter figure to me or a niece or something. And that works really well. I'm more of a mentor in style, but I have worked with CEOs, but my ideal client is really somebody who is just doggone ready, and they're just and they just really want to know, and they do have the money to invest in themselves, and they've decided that's the value that they want to place on it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so good. You're like, you must be my sister from another mister or something. I swear, like everything you're saying, I'm like, yep. It's like so good. I really, really love that. And I love your energy and I love what you're bringing. And I love that you're authentic and real. I love also that you are not afraid to touch on that faith piece if we have to touch on that, touch on the corporate piece, touch on the leadership piece. That's really good, Andrea. And I think more people need to be that way because we are the same person in and out of work, in and out of church, in and out of relationships. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people feel so divided within themselves, right? And it's okay to have those things come together and, be you, be really you. Yeah. And it's a good place to live, isn't it? It's just a good place to live. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you. You don't have to remember how you acted. Right. You don't have to remember, I'm going to be this way over here and this way over here.
Exactly.
And it doesn't. You don't have to do that. And you're worth it. And every single bit that God gave you to live with is what you need to do. It's the way to do it. So that's just what I want to be able to help people do. And I do it in a very systematic way. My coaching is a little bit of a hybrid of being able to really hold space and listen and figure out and strategically work. And let's actually work on some skill building. Let's work on some information download. Let's really look at what it means to be a leader, because a lot of times we don't know. So personally, I have a thing for your clients. It's a one-page core values exercise. But I also, since we talked so much about DISC, if you go to my website, theintentionaloptimist.com/cheat, CHEAT, you'll get a DISC cheat sheet. It's 8 pages. It'll give you all kinds of information before you take an assessment on what you are and how to talk to your coworkers and even your kids.
That's so great. Thank you so much. I'm going to have you repeat that because I know that I have a lot of people that either have their own businesses, starting their own business. I know I have a lot of leaders because I speak to a lot of them. Uh-huh. So how do people work with you? Give us that again, because I know that what you're bringing is so much value. And the reason I say with such emphasis is because right now there is this thing going on in the corporate world where people are quitting in silence, where people are really struggling and suffering in there. And now with the economy kind of being rough, people are staying at their jobs very unhappy, right?
Yeah.
So I would love people to find you, work with you, and like develop that, not just for themselves and the executive leadership, because that's important, but also for the corporate person. So the person who's owning that business and running, you guys need to really start thinking about how you are going to really pour into your teams. This is a real thing, and it's something that needs to happen. So how do they get in contact with you? How do they work with you? Give us all of that.
Sure. It's important to make sure, like you said, to make sure that your teams are happy, but it's also important to make sure that you understand your team. And people don't leave an organization, they leave people. So,
So true.
I got a bunch of those kind of things I could just throw out there. It's The Intentional Optimist, theintentionaloptimist.com, or Andrea at theintentionaloptimist.com. Or on any social media, DM me through LinkedIn or Instagram. I am The Intentional Optimist. Or just put in Andrea Johnson, Charlottesville, and you're going to find me. So I'm out there. I've done a lot of work with the chamber, so a lot of stuff pops up. And usually, and again, my podcast is Stand Tall and Own It. And I did it for 3 years interviewing women, female leaders, where we got their stories. So you can see, you can be a leader at any level at any time. And all the stuff that I learned from them, I took and I rebranded, and now it's Stand Tall and Own It. But I've got some good.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And you also gave me a special link for everyone, right? So theintentionaloptimist.com/straighttalk.
Straight talk.
Yes.
Super simple.
Yes, get on there.
That'll get you, if you've never done core values work before, it will give you a one-page exercise. If that, some people can do that. If you're a C, you're probably going to be able to do that one page, or a D, really do that one pager. If not, I do have links in there that will tell you how to get to my course or a hybrid coaching program that I do with
Wonderful.
That. So yeah, you can just figure out who you are. It'll help you go places for sure.
This was such a good conversation, Andrea. Thank you so much for being on Straight Talk. Really. I love it. I love it. I love you. I love it. It's all good stuff. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Guys, I told you, right? Good human on the planet. I'm telling you, make sure that you follow her. I'm going to link all of her information below and also give you the link that she's giving you so that you can go on there and look at that disc. Because no, this is the core values. So look at the core values. Mm-hmm. But she also has all these programs. So, you know, I cannot stress this enough. Being somebody who was in leadership for so many years, and I ran a team of 20, and it was a lot of personalities and a lot of things going on. And sometimes you're thrown into a position because you were there long, or you're a good worker, or all that kind of stuff. And then what happens is you get to that position and you feel defeated, or you feel like you're not good enough, or you feel like you can't do it. But that's not true. Sometimes it's just about getting rid of all of that stuff and getting to the core of who you are, and you will rise as a leader. You will. But you have to go ahead and do the work. So make sure you get in contact with Andrea. I'm going to list her information below because I want to see you guys win. I want to see you win. I love you guys so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.